It is 4:44 and time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan is here with music by request.
I am never stopping requesting from this point on. After Alice in Chains and now Def Leppard, how else can you start a segment except with some hard charging music?
There you go.
Our usual music is me playing, and that's nice. You know, me on acoustic.
Right.
I work cheap, so I the session work was very, very inexpensive. But yeah,
need something to fire you up because you're playing hurt today.
That's right. I am. I have my first injury that, as I confided in the bassist in my band, I'm finally admitting that I'm nothing but flab and good looks. people talk about their core. I've often talked about my empty soul, maybe my dark, but I've never admitted that essentially my core is non-existent. So my wife, being not only a yoga aficionado, but a yoga instructor along many lines, has really taken me to task. And so I am going to be starting a regimen of core training so that the next time I slip a couple discs, at the end of last week, I slipped a couple discs in my lower back, and it's, I don't ever want to do it again.
No, I don't think you would.
Yeah, it was an experience. Mm. It's awesome. There's nothing worse than like waking your wife up who's already like sick herself and like, now you have to take care of your husband who can't control his body from spasming. It's wonderful.
Because
that's like middle-aged love. That's how we know. You know, we've been together for 20 years
and
now.
And men handle pain so well.
We don't. And that's the thing. Ultimately, that's what you hear in her voice is like just disappointment. Like, I put out both of your children. I've put out my back. I've gone through massive jaws. She went through two major jaw surgeries when she was a younger woman because of an accident right at birth. She's like, you don't know pain, little man. But she took care of me anyway, which is really nice of her. Because, you know, what else are you gonna do? Like, just leave your husband there and your kids can find him like daddy, and they're just gonna poke me with a stick. Like, does this help now? It's all right. It's good. But I had this is the first couple of days I have ever actually forcibly, like doctor orders, spent in bed, like on my back. And first of all, I feel completely useless because that's not exactly how I live my life. But I actually like read, you know, like books. Not just ESPN Bloviators, but I read a lot of that too. Much was my interest piqued, by the way, when I found out you're interviewing Ron Darling. So my first, like, that was the time when I came into baseball consciousness, you know, 1986 Mets. I knew they were something to follow. I did not yet know what cocaine was, but clearly they did. And then, of course, you know, I love the Phillies. I was raised as a Phillies fan. So when we got Dykstra, and I mean, you know, think of him what you will, the opinions probably veer all pretty close to one. And he didn't, so he's threatened to, you know, take it to Ron Darling.
Right.
And then I was reading this article about this, and the next thing the article says is, by the way, Ron Darling is a regular commentator on blah, 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 blah. I'm like, so Lenny, if you're looking,
right
now, you know. Anyway, we're not here to talk about the unfortunate.
I hope Lenny doesn't come here Monday thinking that we're interviewing Ron Darling in the studio. It's over the phone.
That would
Nails,
be tremendous.
If you're listening, Lenny.
He's probably a great interview. Just,
oh yeah.
Just pretend you have no idea who Ron Darling is and say, as long as you're here, you made the trip. I've never heard of the Mets, but I've heard of you, sir. Mm. I heard of your, you know, affinity for Chew.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Could you give me some financial advice?
There you go. Bad idea. Okay. We're here to talk about cooking with booze because we're in a new month. We moved past packaging and wine and things like that. And we're in a new month. And this is one of my favorite months because I love cooking. I do the majority of the cooking in our household. And it's a catharsis for me at home. I'm sure it is for a lot of you folks. The success of things like Food Network et al. Suggests that. And, of course, as Americans are now the leading consumer of wine in the world, we need to learn how to cook with wine. But not only with wine, with beer, of course. Cooking with beer is one of my favorite things, with meads, with cider. So we'll talk about all that during this month. Cooking with wine is great. It's varied. So, you know, any preconceptions you have probably aren't exactly right. But there's a couple tried and true ones. I can tell you from experience, the first in my nascent days of trying to learn how to cook, I said to myself, well, I've got a nice piece of salmon, and I've got this red cooking wine. You heard that right.
Yes.
And I said, well, I've heard that you marinate fish in wine. And there is a certain truth to that. But what I did was never what you should do on so many levels. So there are errors to be had. But let's talk about it a little bit. So, and again, this is not necessarily about pairing food with wine, right? This is using booze in to enhance flavor, to create change. So why not? You know, what are you using wine and other alcohols for? Well, primarily flavor, especially when you're considering, I mean, you know, when you're adding a good bit of it, that you're basically putting in fermented grape juice. I mean, this is an obviously, you know, we're talking about wine all the time with its flavor profiles. So you're going to want to be looking for something that will match the flavor profile of what you're looking for. But be aware that you can always sort of, you know, the other things that you're going to put in that recipe are still going to influence the outcome. So even if you're talking about a dry wine, it still might be something you're going to use in something that might end up sweet, you know, barbecue or other. So we'll get to that. Alcohol doesn't necessarily burn off, but by and large it does. So people afraid of using alcohol in things that kids are going to have. Basically, you need to make sure that it does burn off. If you know, add alcohol very quickly at the end of something or whatever, with a deliberate intention of having that be an alcoholic dish, as some, you know, alcohol-soaked cakes and things like that are, you just need to be aware of that, right? But don't ever hesitate to give a child a stew that you're going to use, a half a bottle of red wine in. By the time you're serving that stew over hours and hours and hours, the flavors are there, but the ability to intoxicate yourself will merely hinge on the aromas. Sorry, that was lame.
Anyway, I like that.
I try. So as I said, different ways, you know, marinades, certainly, not only do they add to the flavor, but they help break down foods, right? So tougher cuts of meat, especially, you know, leap to mind. You leave it in a wine or something like that, and vinegars and things like that for a couple of hours. It helps to break down the fibers of that meat and make it more delectable and wonderful. Obviously adding to sauces and stuff like that for flavor, jellies and other toppings, massive amounts of those, merely hit, you know, search your local Google for references there. It's fantastic. Also adding moisture, when you're baking, certainly to, we're going to talk about, especially one of my favorite things to do is make a quick thing of beer bread. And, it helps, add moisture to that bread. And, one of the worst things in the world, I think, is like dry, nasty bread. So that's a key thing. Obviously, going back to my salmon story, cook with what you're going to drink. Now, my caveat, and you've heard this a million times, don't cook necessarily with something expensive if that's what you're going to drink. Cook with something akin to that something expensive, but don't use what we call cooking wine. Cooking wine is an affront to society. There's a lot of wines out there that are inexpensive enough. Very often, they'll be clearance stuff, vintage rollover, stuff like that, that's still, pretty good, that you can throw in. As I said, some stew recipes or beef bourguignon, they call for a whole bottle of red wine sometimes. So, toss in something cheap, not too cheap, because again, cook with what you drink. So if you're not going to drink Franzia, don't cook with Franzia. But be aware that a lot of your, and I'll be straight up with you, a lot of your favorite restaurants, the places that you go and are willing to pay $30 and more for an entree, they're not using expensive, bottles of wine for their cooking sauces. I'm telling you that right now. They'd probably tell you that right now. If they tell you otherwise, you'd probably be paying more than $30 for that entree. So they're using boxed wine of a decent quality, right? And we've talked about boxed wines, but they're using something, usually probably something, if it's a white wine, kind of tart and acidic, for a fresh, lemony, invigorating quality. But that's what they're doing. So don't be afraid of using an inexpensive wine, but just make sure it's something that you can put in your mouth and be like, okay, this doesn't make me want to, give up my love for all good things and move away to a monastery. I'm just saying. What we're drinking today, and this is a great example of a wonderful, inexpensive wine, and one that can easily stand in for a more expensive bottle if you want to have that as your featured wine. So what we're drinking today, a grape called Monastrell. We've had many Monastrells in French. It's called Mourvèdre. And in America, it's called Mataro. And you see this actually a little bit now in South America as well. I should denote North and South America, I suppose, at all times. But yeah, this is a really, you know, excellent, rich red wine from the region of Yecla in Spain. A lot of chocolatey, rich, dark, jammy red notes, such as you'd find in a lot of, you know, more hedonistic red blends that might cost more, which is why these wines very often, and this indeed, I believe this just got 92 points from some other, you know, writing head or talking head or something, but it's a very well-reviewed wine, and it's delicious on its own. For those of you who are not drinking $30, $40, $50 bottles of wine, neither am I, so I'm down. But this is a great example of a wine that you can use in a lot of things. As I said, you know, stews and other things. Beef bourguignon is a wonderful one. But also something that I think is amazingly good and something that you should check out is poaching pears with red wine. And this is what I was talking about with a dry and sweet sort of thing. So you take a wine like this, which has a lot of jamminess and rich, you know, berry quality, and then you make a sauce with some sugar and things like that, and that's what you use for poaching pears, and it makes a wonderful, wonderful dessert. There, it looks so cool. I mean, pears, you know, become that sort of beautiful purpley red hue. It's really cool. So yeah. So I have a couple more minutes, and there's a couple things I'd like to touch on. And we will certainly come back to cooking with wine and beer next week. And hopefully, if my back is not out, I will make us some nice beer bread to sample on air.
Oh,
and
love that.
That will lead me into on the 18th of this week, this month rather, which is our third Thursday, we will be having our monthly tasting. And I always try to bring a couple examples of what we are talking about in terms of cooking with various alcohols. And those are always warmly received and quickly devoured. So come out to that. That'll be 5 to 7 on the third Thursday, which is the 18th this month, and every month. Also, our wine of the week is the Estate Rosé from Chateau Mussard. We got a couple cases, of which they make very, very, very little. It is not inexpensive, but it is 10% off this week. And it is the 2016, which is the current release, just so you are aware of, you know, again, Mussard, super age-worthy stuff. The last thing I wanted to touch on is that we are looking for a part-time employee at Bangor Wine and Cheese. It is mostly, well, it's going to be nights and weekends, 10-plus hours a week. And so if you are interested, please swing your resume by the store during working hours. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Eric. Hope you're feeling better next week.
Rock and roll.
Continued progress. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor, with our message in the bottle.